It's Congressman Paul Tonko. I'd like to ask you about the cybersecurity bill. In all honesty, I'm not too well prepared on this. I just scoped out a story from Associated Press. Cybersecurity sounds kind of worthwhile. I gather you're against it. The House has passed it. What's going on?
Well, the House did pass a version yesterday that the President and the White House personnel indicated would probably meet with a veto. It's basically about taking our cyber intelligence and addressing how it's shared and protected. And the bill, basically, the concept here is to get a legislative piece done, enact into law the elimination of legal barriers that would discourage companies from sharing information about cyber threats. These are in response to national security. And basically what I think the best outcome be here is to set up mandatory security standards for critical infrastructure systems, Bob, such as our electrical grids or our chemical plants, all about, you know, avoiding some sort of preventing a catastrophic cyber attack as it relates to national security. But the issue here, I think the concerns yesterday on the floor and certainly the threats of a veto circle around citizens having a right to know that corporations would be held legally accountable for failing to safeguard their personal information adequately. There's a lot of potential here with technology. There's a lot of threat, but there's a lot of protection that can be offered. And it's about not imposing government into the access to critical data that is very personal, personally identifies individuals, and wanting to protect those rights is important. It's very important here.
Well, it sounds like you support this. Why did you?
I support the concept, but there weren't protections in this bill before the House that adequately protects individuals from having their rights to privacy protected. I think there's a way to do this and to set up mandatory standards that protect our electrical grid information, chemical plant information, federal information. There's a way to protect it without, you know, impacting the privacy and the liberties of Americans.
Now, according to this AP story by Donna Cassata, the Obama administration threatened, as you said, to veto it, preferring a Senate measure giving Homeland Security Department the primary role to oversee this whole cybersecurity operation. That bill is stalled. And the House Speaker, John Boehner, is picking up that idea and saying, well, the White House wants the government to control the Internet and that they will set the standards for the Internet. Is that what you see as the issue, too?
I think it's a resistance by many of the companies that would be impacted here to go the extra mile to protect individuals from their information being shared and being totally accessible. And I don't think that that characterization is correct. I think it's a protection, not an invasion of privacy, that is being addressed by the Senate bill, which I think the White House would probably approve.
Now, again, one thing that maybe puzzles me is if the government, the government has regulated communication over the years, and originally when it was just radio, it was because the radio stations asked for it. I mean, who else would regulate this if not the government? I know people don't like government, but, you know, who else would be in charge?
I guess it would be self-imposed and self-regulated, which I don't think would be as effective as providing a civilian agency
and
Homeland Security to do it.
Sorry to keep interrupting on this, but maybe I still don't get the drift. I mean, the hope here is so that when, let's say, a private company, a big one, I don't know who, like GE or something, has some sort of, they know of some sort of cyber threat, that somehow they get the government involved, or they let it be known, hey, look, we got a problem here?
And it's also about, you know, addressing core critical infrastructure vulnerabilities, where if there is a weakness or if there's a risk to our systems, that they coordinate amongst these various private sector types and public sector types and share that information. And again, working it through a civilian agency like Homeland Security rather than some sort of non-military agency could have, you know, provide a central role in handling any of the cyber threat information. If there's a threat to the cyber infrastructure of our country, the effort here is to calculate that and to coordinate it amongst the various strong interests, including like grid systems and chemical plants, and being able to enter that into an intelligence protection network. And therein, I think, lies the efforts of a civilian agency that could coordinate that. And every effort is being made by those who have opposed some of these measures to make certain that the right to privacy and protecting the privacy of Americans is important, because there's a lot of information exchange each and every day on the Internet and through our cyber system that ought not be totally accessible, especially when it's dealing with personal data and information.
Now, the vote, it says here in the AP, was a bipartisan vote, you know, Democrat, I mean, Republican mainly, presumably, but Republican, also Democrats, 248 to 168. So do you think this version will ultimately be, you're saying the president says he'll veto this version?
Right. I think the veto risk is still great, and I believe that this will bring people to the conference table, and hopefully the conferees will be able to nail down a program that provides for our cyber intelligence to be protected, and at the same time not have a raid on the rights to privacy that Americans in this culture need to enjoy, have the right to enjoy.
Another big topic in Washington this week, and also on national television, with the president doing a slow jam on the Jimmy Fallon show about the student loan interest rates, which are going to go up unless something's done. Again, John Boehner speaks, says, hey, the president's being unfair here. We don't want the student loan rates to go up, but we want to just take the money to keep them low from health care.
Right. Let me take exception to that. The proof is in the pudding, Bob. It was a Ryan budget before the House that would allow the 3.4% cap on Stafford loans for students to rise to 6.8%. So not only are they mixing a message here, their real test, votes cast, indicated they were comfortable, they were okay with the 3.4 cap going to 6.8%. That means about $1,000 a month for many of our students. That is unacceptable. And we have put forth a measure to make certain that come July 1, without action, they automatically rise. So there's an attempt here to keep the cap at 3.4%, which is very important to our student population. The biggest debt out there right now is student loan. It surpasses credit card debt, which surpasses auto loan debt. So this is a huge issue. And the wedge of the pie, if you're to look at the wedge of the pie for debt assumed by age demographics, the under 30 community is a huge piece of the pie. So this is an attempt to be sensitive to individuals who have pursued the development of their education so that they can be a strength to the workforce out there and a strength to our society, ought not have to bear additional interest payments. Now, the measure they came up with yesterday, because of all the pressure that's come to bear from students, from parents, grandparents, the administration of campuses, educators at campuses, a lot of outspokenness there. And to respond to that pressure, they attempted to quickly put together a bill. But in so doing, they went after, as a funding source, prevention and public health funds that are part of the Affordable Care Act. And these dollars are going towards prevention services, many times for women and often for children. It addresses mental health programs and vaccines for children and adults. Now, you know, we need to go forward. We need to invest wisely and soundly in our youngest generation. But if we're going to sacrifice their health to pay for their student loans, we're hurting the same audience we're trying to help. So I think this is back to the drawing boards for this one. This is not the way to fund the loan cap. And the loan cap, again, comes with a high degree of urgency because July 1st is just around the corner.
Congressman Paul Tonko joins us. Can you stay till 8 o'clock?
Absolutely.
We'll be back with the congressman in a moment. If you have a question or comment, 684-0123, WVTL-FM at 751. Amsterdam Congressman Paul Tonko on WVTL-FM. Locally, they're either open or they're getting it open, the Erie Canal Mohawk River. And I didn't realize until your office indicated to me that this is earlier than expected.
Yeah, it's a few days early, Bob, and I think that's good news. You know, there's been an awful lot of infrastructure improvement and repair that had to be done in the aftermath of Hurricane the ravages of Tropical Storm Lee and Irene, and that effort has been really strong. The canal director, former mayor Brian Stratton, has really put together a good response team, and to their credit, they've done a great job. But hopefully we'll have a season of growth for tourism and activity along the stretches of the Erie Canal. Very important to the upstate economy. And as we speak, hopefully there will be more and more focus on dealing with the impacts of erosion and infrastructure from those storms.
Mm. There was sad news, and this just occurred to me, and I did not mention this earlier to you, that in Rotterdam Junction, there's the Schenectady County Foundation that's been helping people, and they just ran out of money.
Right. I've been working with a lot of the local not-for-profits in the faith community to complement and supplement the work being done by the public and private sectors to respond to the floods. And I think as we put this budget together in Washington with our target of October 1, there can be some ancillary pieces that will further restore the dollars available today for flood response. And that disaster response is very critical. We had those battles last year, as you know, trying to get the dollars for watershed restoration, which was important for our creek bed and for our riverbed, and also dealing with mm-hmm. issues that provided for debris removal, which is always a threat with the occurrence of another storm. So, you know, it's rightful, justified advocacy for those resources.
Let me ask you a big picture question. We've talked today about cybersecurity. We talked about student loan rates, and now you brought up the concept that the federal government, the Congress, and the president have to work out a budget by October, while the election, the presidential election and the congressional election is underway. Sometimes I think I just want to put my head under a pillow and go away. I mean, no matter, you know, one side says one thing and the other side attacks it. But on the other hand, it being an election year, I suppose it behooves both, let's say, John Boehner and Barack Obama, to look like something's getting done. So do you think things are going to get done in Washington this year, or are we in for more partisan bickering?
I think that it's a very difficult stretch right now. It has been during the course of the 112th. It's a stark contrast, Bob, between this Congress and the 111th, which was my initial term in Congress. You can just see how every effort is being made to deny and delay. And I'll tell you, just this week, the recurring theme coming from whether it's the ophthalmologists, the research scientists, semiconductor industry, a number of people that have advocated for research dollars with NIST. We just had a tour with the head of advanced manufacturing for the national effort for standards and technology. He came to our nanotech center in Albany. We invited him up for a tour. We did a one-on-one tour. His agency provides a lot of stewards the research dollars. Great advocacy this week down here with fly-ins from around the country for research dollars for that, for NSF, for the Science Foundation, for NIH, the Institute of Health, where they're doing, the ophthalmologists reminded me of an effort they're doing to do research on macro degeneration. So a lot of efforts where research not only provides success and hope for individuals, it also translates into job creation. And if we don't do these investments, we don't keep pace with opportunities and tremendous potential out there for success, but we also don't create the jobs. And so to delay this and to deny it is very hurtful, not only to local economies, the national economy, but to the commodity of hope out there that many people reach to with a lot of this discovery and research that really provides opportunity.
Congressman Paul Tonko, I thank you very much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Bob, and I hope everyone has a great weekend, and we'll be in town for district work period, so look forward to that also.
You mean next week this is happening?
Yes.
So Congress won't be in session next week?
They will not.
Okay. Well, thank you, Congressman. Again, have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.